Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folks, we've been watching the disaster of the ship, 984 feet, if my memory serves me correct, container vessel that hits the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And you can't help but go to what if. That port is basically out. It's stymied. There's no vessel traffic. There's a bunch of vessels trapped within the port. There are vessels outside the port trying to get in. Where do they go? What do they do? And when you think about the number of Mississippi River crossings that we have by bridge here and the amount of marine vessel traffic that we have up and down the river and how important it is to the supply chain, the economy, not only here locally, but throughout the Mississippi River region, it's a legitimate place to go. What if? And here to talk to us about it, Sean Duffy, Executive Director of Big River Coalition. They're committed to ensuring the future of the navigation on the Mississippi River Channel, as well as a number of other channels and tributaries as well. Just to put this in perspective, the annual impact, economic impact of the Mississippi River and its tributaries, $735 billion. It's something to be worried about. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Newell, and I appreciate the introduction. And, before I say anything else, I have to say that, our hearts are with the families of those that were involved in this tragic incident and the loss of life. At this point, I'm going to do my absolute best to answer questions. There's a lot to this process. I'm also reminded that director of the National Transportation Safety Bureau recently passed away, who was a close friend, Captain Morgan Terrell. I think he passed away within the last month, maybe a little longer. But, right now, a tragic maritime accident that will have history making come from the NTSB and the report of, what really caused it. But I cannot start without talking about the mourning for those that were lost and considering their family and also the impact of the tragedy on those on the vessel doing their absolute best to try to prevent a tragedy.
No, absolutely, and that goes without saying, and I'm so glad that you started out that way. Sean, obviously, though, in the aftermath of this, this kind of situation, when especially with the mission and vision of Big River Coalition, these are things that probably keep you up at night, right?
You'd be surprised, but you're right. Yes, a lot of things keep me up at night. We worry about bridges, shoaling, anchorages, vessel groundings, and a lot of times the perspectives that come to us, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and text myself about something I want to research or look at or an avenue to pursue. Related to maybe a sensor or rereading a NTSB report. There's a great deal of education that goes with the role. I know there's a lot of people in the maritime industry that have to be very cautious about what they say. And oftentimes I'm called on to try to speak when others have to or choose to be cautious. So I want to talk. I want to do my best. But, yes, there's a lot to what the maritime commerce on that river, the impact to the nation, the importance of what we do, keeping maritime commerce, citizens safe, people safe, and the supply chain moving.
I wanted to start with this. I was reading an article in the Washington Post, and there was one two-sentence paragraph that really struck me, and it speaks volumes, and I wanted you to respond to it. The vessel is called the Dolly, and it's registered in Singapore. And this the author of the article says, this means it's held to a higher standard than those sad ships that fly so-called flags of convenience. But that didn't keep the ship's power from cutting out in the first minutes following its departure. It seems to me that this is a kind of a sad commentary and an admission that these foreign vessels that come into our ports, are less than. We know they're less than, but yet we're not doing much to try and remedy and remediate this problem. And when you look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, one has to ask, we have a lot at risk. And the economic impact to the not only that region, but to the country is huge. Why do we find ourselves in this position?
I mean, this is a really good question, and I'm going to tell you I'll do my best to answer it. It's probably one that a maritime attorney would be better to answer, or maybe somebody from the Coast Guard. But we rely on the regulations that we have in place. So you have not only vessels coming into the U.S., you have U.S. Coast Guard, you have the International Maritime Organization, IMO. The pilots do a great job of screening vessels and trying to make sure they're in compliance. But there are things sometimes changes are made. One of the big pushes now, and I have to be very careful what I say, but there's lower sulfur fuel and looking to reduce carbon emissions. And some of those impacts can limit the horsepower of a vessel, and it's something that I know the pilots on the Mississippi River worked with the Coast Guard in conjunction to try to ensure that vessels coming in the river were capable of making full revolutions because of the currents and the complexity of the river. After every tragedy, we will look at an NTSB report when it comes out. And I've reviewed more of them than I care to mention, but the one that comes to mind was the Sunshine Bridge elision just a few years ago. And there were a lot of lessons learned from that. The flag of convenience, we expect that vessels are held to standards that mean they can perform in the river. The pilots, if they have a concern about a vessel, they may be able at times to take it to anchorages. One of the things that keeps me up a lot is the Pilot Town Anchorage is a severely deficient deep draft anchorage where in 1989 we had a Russian freighter go aground and shut the river down for 21 days. If there's one place in the river for a vessel to go aground and shut it down, it's that very place. And we're working both collectively with pilot groups and other associations and members of Congress to try to get the Pilot Town Anchorage dredge, which the complexity of it is it's outside of the channel, so the Corps of Engineers does not believe they have the authority to dredge it, but it's severely shoaled in, so pilots can't always pull over when there's a problem on a vessel. They may have to try to anchor in the channel, and whenever you do that, you're either shutting down other commerce or putting other vessels at risk. And again, the pilots are counting on the vessels to, when they show up to port, to be in top operating condition. The pilot does an exchange with the captain and ask a variety of questions. And, you know, at the end of the day, it all boils down to, is your ship able to make full revolutions? Are you able to maneuver? How long does this take? How long does that take? But the pilots, depending on that vessel being seaworthy and ready to enter the river.
I've been down the river with a pilot. I can tell you, I know there's a lot of folks that have angst and anxiety about what pilots make and what they do, and you know whether or not they're paid too much. And I don't need to opine on that. All I can tell you is that in that journey, for just several hours down to the mouth of the river, we ran into fog, rain. The river was rough. I've never seen anything like it. The rain was so hard you couldn't even see the bow of the ship. But the fact of the matter was that the levee looked like a speed bump. It looks like those little speed bumps as you go down the street that they have crossing the street. And when you think about it, just as you described, Sean, all of that has to be working in concert with one another to deal with eventualities that come up. And these are crisis situations when you have a vessel going down the river at, you know, 20 knots or whatever, and the ability to stop it, the ability to pull it over, the ability to not crash into the levee system and create all kinds of damage or any other structure. I go to the Francis Scott Key Bridge thing, and they're talking about barriers around the supportive piers and the lack thereof. As a layperson, I just sit there and I say, why? It seems as though that is a small price to pay for a huge return.
And, you know, that's an excellent point. I mean, many of the things that I look back in the other Sunshine Bridge, the Tampa Sunshine Skyway Bridge, maritime disaster in the 80s where I think over 35 people died. Years later, I would live in Tampa and meet the pilot on board and have a discussion with him. And when they rebuilt that bridge, they really fortified dolphins around it. And I'll say the acronym, and I'd have to look it up, but like American Association of State Highways, ASHTO, did a report talking about how to build stronger dolphins around new bridges and how to retrofit old bridges. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you, we've just made some progress that will help provide additional navigational safety at bridges. There's a program that NOAA has. The acronym there is PORTS, Physical Oceanographic Real-Time Systems. And they have an air gap sensor that gives a reading. Now, an air gap didn't have anything to do with this situation, but it's one that the pilots battle here. We have seven bridges that cross over the ship channel. Two of them at Crescent City Connection, so we need six air gap sensors. We've only had two for 20 years. They were put in after the Hurricane Katrina with some supplemental funding. So we have them on the Crescent City Connection and the Huey P. Long Bridge. We do not have them on any other bridges. We'll have one added to the Baton Rouge I-10 bridge, another bridge that's heavily trafficked. By the end of April, the Governor Landry's transition team has worked very, very heavily to fund additional air gap sensors, and we may, over the next year or two, have them on all six of the seven bridges. And then There's also
what is that? What does that provide, Sean? What does an air gap sensor provide?
So it gives a real time vertical clearance of the bridge. So available online. So it tells you, and then we're also pursuing current meters on the bridge piers, which will be another metric that will help the pilots. You know, we see in maritime operations, and I'm not a pilot, but mm-hmm. we have a lack of sensors, and we're adding them, and it carries over to the computers on vessels and that pilots carry and that people make decisions on. Look at river gauges, air gap heights, what the current is in the river. Adding these new pieces of information will be very helpful. They'll help buy down the risk. But I remember after the Sunshine Bridge, when we approached different entities about $20,000 a year to get an air gap sensor on the bridge, we were unsuccessful. So we've just made a lot of progress.
That's unbelievable.
When you think about the cost of the Sunshine Bridge, and I felt the same way, but I couldn't write a check for it. And I'm talking to the bridge owners and people involved, and they're like, that's a great idea. We just can't afford it.
You can't afford not to do it.
I totally agree with you.
I'm going to have you back on, Sean. We've run out of time, but I appreciate you joining us. I mean, I think this highlights a lot of the challenges that we have, dare say deficiencies. It's going to be interesting. Thank you so much. Sean Duffy, Executive Director, Big River Coalition. Have a great week.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.